Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. And so we're taking our moment to stop and reflect, to work out where we are and where we're going, and where our relationship with God fits into all. So we're back again, doing another reflection episode. So welcome back, Ethel.
Thank you. It's so good to be on this side of the microphone.
Does it feel a bit strange, though?
No.
Okay, that's
sorry. I used to be a presenter.
That is true, you did. And so we've had quite a wide range of topics over the last 10 episodes, including two really good episodes on addiction with Lauren. And I've been saying to everyone, I could have spent all day talking to Lauren. Like, she had so much to say and so much in depth, which is how we ended up in two episodes.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I found really interesting was, like, sometimes you don't really think, obviously you think about how, like, addiction impacts people. You don't want to get to be one of those people that's like, oh, addiction can, everyone is addicted to something, because it's like, no, like, addictions can impact people's lives in, like, really difficult ways. But it was that reminder that stuck with me, like, every time you feel that urge to touch your phone, that is a similar urge to what someone feels when they're, like, addicted to alcohol or drugs. That's that impulse. And it's like, wow, like, I didn't really realize how, I suppose, how much of a battle it is, because something like a phone addiction is obviously can be serious, but in my life, personally, it's quite trivial. So it was just such an opening, like an eye-opening moment for me.
And I think with a phone addiction, I think all of us, if we're being honest, would admit that we do have a phone addiction, just because it is what happens in society. But I think the way she just described that, it was just so powerful to think of it in terms of, like, how addiction impacts your day-to-day living as well.
Yeah, but hearing also just how God showed up in Lauren's life as well is just something that I've also found quite fascinating, because I think, yeah, it's something, I don't know if you've picked up on this idea of, like, the boo moments, as you like to call them. Do you want to explain what a boo moment is?
So a boo moment is, like, when God just appears and it's just like, boom, God is there, present in your life. You can feel his presence. He changes your life and he impacts it in such a huge way that it's really easy to, like, define the moment that happened. And then I would talk about it as, like, little tick moments for most of us. Like, we're just keeping going in our daily life, particularly if you've grown up Christian or Catholic. For me, I've grown up as a cradle Catholic. So I feel God's presence, like, little ticks, where, like, it seems like a puzzle piece just slides into place rather than this big boom moment.
So I was actually reading a book by Peep Gregg. He basically wrote this book called How to Hear God. And in it, he talks about how Jesus appears to St. Paul, but in a Damascus Road moment, whereas there's the two people that he approaches on the road to Emmaus, and they're two different encounters in how he appears. So you could describe, like, the Damascus Road experience like a boo moment, but actually we often forget how Jesus reveals himself sometimes slowly and in conversation and in meals. And do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I think that's something that I'm like, wow, like, I'm always waiting for God to show up in a boo moment, but how much have I missed out on God walking with me and talking with me and laughing with me and asking me questions? And those are the moments where he's appeared.
And when you look at the Gospels, that is what Jesus mainly did. Like, he did mainly just spend time with people, having those conversations, having meals. He did have the miracles, but actually probably the moments he changed people's lives more were in those conversations. I think the challenge for me, and we were talking about this earlier, is when I was about 18, I really struggled with how often people who were put on stages to share their testimony were just talking about those boom moments or those Damascus moments. And as a younger person who had, as I said, grown up in my faith, I didn't necessarily have that big boom moment. I felt like I was doing something wrong, like, or not, maybe not wrong, but something that maybe I wasn't good enough, that I didn't have, like, God showing up boom in my life. But as I've got older, I've realized actually more people have those smaller moments of where God shows up rather than those big moments. It's just people on when they're coming to share their testimonies, it's easier to share those bigger moments. And I just think it's one of the reasons I love this podcast is we have those opportunities to share those stories.
Yeah, share both. Yeah. And you reminded me so much of the conversation that we had with Nisha and just like everyday faith, like the small moments, the conversations that you have with people, the small decisions that you make are like, it's almost like St. Ignatius was onto something about seeing God in all things, right? Like,
shocking.
You know? So it's literally like just allowing yourself the freedom and the patience with yourself and with God to just show up in the little thing, or like that thing Veronica was talking about, to notice the fingerprints of God like on your life and stuff like that. So I think that's been a really interesting and poignant theme that has like been in the last few episodes that we've done.
And you messaged me over the weekend about you were reading something about the Examen. And one of the things I love about the Examen is that, so the Examen is a daily prayer where you reflect on your day and what's gone well and what's not gone well and what you're looking forward to. And you can do it slightly differently depending, and there's lots of different resources for it. But what I think, if you do it regularly enough, you start to see God in all things. But share what you were very excited about.
Yeah, it was. So this kind of like stemmed off like the conversation with Edwin around the idea of like your like inner reflection and looking inward. And funnily enough, it was actually in that same book with Pete Gregg, How to Hear God, where he talks about like the Examen. Obviously, he's kind of approaching it from like a Protestant point of view. The beauty of Ignatian spirituality, that seeing God in all things and having those moments where you look inwardly, is like obviously a thread of this podcast, but a thread of just life with Christ, right?
But Lauren from Hidden Catholic, she kind of shares some of that with her own experience of deciding to leave the tech world and going into doing tours of what happens in the Catholic world. Like, it wasn't for her. She woke up one morning and thought, God is calling me to this. It was more that she was doing it, and she was sharing about how she took some family members, including her mother-in-law, on a tour, and then her mother-in-law was like, well, have you considered maybe this is what you should do? And even then, it took her a few minutes to be like, is this what God is calling her to, rather than she felt God's voice going, go set up Hidden Catholic.
Yeah, I mean, I found that conversation with Lauren, Hidden Catholic Lauren, also very challenging, because this idea of like, I loved how she was just very much like, I've always talked about my faith, I'm not going to shy away from it. Because I think sometimes, especially when you go into normal work life, right? I mean, we both work for Catholic organizations, so like we know that it's easy to talk about what you've done at the weekend, to talk about Mass, talk about Jesus and all these other things. But how do you then go into like a non-faith context and talk about your faith? And she's just like, just do it, just in little moments, just be like, yeah, I was at Mass this weekend, or yeah, you know, me and my church family went to do this. And it's like, it's those moments.
Yeah. And I think when she was sharing about it, I am very aware, I think I even said it on the episode, like, I've worked in Catholic or Christian organizations, but I know a lot of people who haven't, and I've heard them say about how it takes a lot of confidence just to say, when someone was like, how was your weekend, to choose to say, I went to Mass or I went to church. And I think sometimes we just have to push ourselves a bit more to be able to say that. I also say that knowing that I do work for a Catholic organization. So, but I do have other contacts, like,
yeah,
I have friends who aren't Catholic or Christian. Obviously they know I am, but I have to push myself to be a little bit more confident to just speak about how my faith changes me.
And I think there is something about like just being honest about that part of your life that, one, lets you live more like authentically to who God has created you to be, but people do see a difference in you. I remember having a conversation with someone and she was like, Ethel, you're religious, right? And I was like, oh, yes, I am. And then we just had a really interesting conversation about faith, and she had grown up Catholic but had kind of, I suppose, walked away from the faith in general just because of some disappointment, and also just the regularity after her grandma passed away, that she just didn't go to Mass anymore, wasn't really in the Catholic world that much. So she still has questions and things about faith, and me having been explicit about like, yes, I'm going to church this weekend, helped us have those conversations about faith in a completely refreshing way to me, because I'm like, oh, I could talk forever about faith. Like, let's talk about, like, I'm happy to talk about faith. Whereas maybe she kind of felt like she didn't know how to approach it. But I guess being honest and being bold and being confident and being like brave to even just slip that into conversation can actually be something that helps you also bless and help other people along their journey.
Yeah, that's so true. I was just thinking about that, how daunting it must be if you have a question about faith and you either come from a lapsed background or no background, just to have the confidence to ask that question. Mm. But if someone of faith, if we make it clear that we are happy to have those conversations, then people are more likely to join in. I was just thinking about my friend Joseph, who was one of the priests at our wedding, and during that evening he got a lot of conversations from people who were not of faith or asking him a lot of questions. And I guess I say this in a way of, we leave a lot of responsibility on our priests or our church leaders, but actually it's a responsibility for all of us to step up and do.
You sound like Christine Allen. That's basically what she was saying in that conversation when we talked about women in lay leadership, this idea of like, we put way too much, not just pressure, but we delegate our responsibility to priests and other people in leadership roles within the church, when actually like we're all called to be the hands and feet of Christ.
Yeah, we're all called to be the hands and feet of Christ. And I guess it's always good to be reminded of that as well, particularly from Christine, who in her professional life, she is Christine, the director of CAFOD, Catholic Agency for Overseas Development. But she also spoke about in her life in the parish, she just tries to be just Christine.
Yeah, Christine is great. Like, but what are kind of your reflections? Because I know you've got that relationship with Christine, as in she is the head of CAFOD where you used to work. But also just as a woman in lay leadership, what's that like, kind of having conversations with women who are being the hands and feet of Christ, but in a very like high role?
Yeah, I think one of the things that, and I said it in the episode that will stay with me, is when you become a personality figure like Christine does as the director of CAFOD, it's how do you stay authentically yourself and more authentically who God is calling you to be. And I think interviewing her, you just get, like, when you talk with Christine, she is just so authentically herself. She's just Christine. And I think that was a real good reminder to myself of how do I just be just Julia?
Yeah.
And not be Julia, the presenter of Thinking Faith, the Things I Wish I Knew podcast. Mm. And how do I still stay authentically who God is calling me to be? Now, I say this hopefully from a humble place. I'm not saying that I'm now a big personality myself, where I would say Christine is, but it's just how do you stay in that zone where, like, for example, when I come to the young adult mass, because I do a lot of the talking at the front of church, a lot of people know who I am or recognize my face, but I haven't had like a proper one-to-one conversation, or I might have, but I have many of them. And so it was just a good reminder that of not becoming too big-headed in becoming a more, this is who I am professionally and this is who I am personally, and like making those merge together. Mm. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, no, it's true. And I think there was also just something like you say, Christine is just so 100% Christine. But it was also really interesting hearing her talk about the fact that like she has to make the point of like, when it's time to be Christine Allen, the director of CAFOD, that's a different hat, but on a Sunday she's Christine who does the music.
And yeah,
I love that is just such a it's first of all, inspiring, because I think she's brilliant at what she does and how she does it and juggles those two roles, right? But also, it's just like what you're saying there, that reminder of like, obviously you have to mentally be in two different spaces when you do those roles. Like, she can't be just like, oh, yeah, I'll do the music if I want to, like when she's director Christine, right? But there is just something about like God's grace and like blessings for both of those roles, but just the way that she's able to honour God in both of those roles too.
I also should add that at Cafod, or at least when I was there, we quite there would be masses on like certain days, and Christine was always like the first to be part of the music group and just be there like singing along.
Oh, so she still just, is Christine who does the music.
I had that flashback when you said it. But yeah, but also that is part of her just being Christine, right? Like, yeah. She's not like, well, I can't do the music here because I need to be director of Catholic. She's joining in as well.
Yeah. So what would you say then, Julia? I'm going to be the one who
turns
the mic on you. What are the things that you feel like you've learned so far?
So last time we talked about that real sense of community, and I think there's still that theme coming up.
Chat with Nikki.
Yeah. And I think because I have this privilege of this podcast and hearing people's stories, the more I'm hearing the need for community and authentic community. And I've been thinking about that in lots of ways in terms of parishes I've been involved in and stuff. But I think for me, it's coming back to what I've kind of just said about Christine, about how am I authentically being who I'm called to be? And I think that also comes back to those boom moments or tick moments. It's much easier for me to look back at my life and see where God's presence was than necessarily while I was living in that moment. Mm. And I don't think God is calling me to have these boom moments. He's calling me to have the Emmaus moments, as you were talking about before, and just walk beside him. And I guess it's like that footprints prayer where it's like when they look back at your life and the guy's like, at the hardest times, there's only one set of footprints, but the rest of the time there's two. And then he felt like God had abandoned him. And actually what God said was, that's when I picked you up and I carried you through those moments. And it's about remembering that like God is always there with us, always walking beside us. And in the hardest times, he's carrying us through those moments. But at the same time, we need to be who he is calling us to be as well.
I think mine's similar. My reflection is similar in the sense that I need to allow myself the grace to make mistakes, yes, but in the sense of like, I can sometimes be crippled with decision making, but actually knowing that you can spot the fingerprints of God throughout my life so much when I've struggled to make decisions, but I've just done it. And it's like, just trust that God's going to be with you wherever. It's not like a one set plan. And I think that's what I've picked up from the conversations from a lot of people, is that idea of like, you can go either way and God's going to be with you, but you just have to trust that, you know, like what you're saying there, in those hard moments, God will be carrying you or walking alongside you. And it can be in those sort of quieter moments and not necessarily waiting for a big boom moment of like, do this, Ethel, now go here. Like, it's like, no, it's just keep trusting and keep walking.
And I think not just from the podcast, but that's a life lesson I've learned in life. I remember, again, being 18, 19, 20, those university days of being like, I know God has a plan for me and I need to do exactly that plan. And if I get it wrong, I have like...
derailed, messed up.
And it was actually because we talked about it, Ruth being my spiritual director before, and she was like, do you think you're so big that you can mess up God's plan? And when that phrase was put at me that way, I was like, no, I'm not that big to mess up God's plan.
I'm just a girl.
And as you said, God might put two or three paths in front of you and you choose one and he's still going to walk beside you in that path.
Mm.
Or if you chose the other one, he'd still walk with you in that path. Like, yeah.
Oh, God is so good.
He is. All the time. So thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. So obviously this episode has been our reflections, but we would love to hear yours. So please do get in contact. You can write to me at jcorcoran, so that's jcorcoran at thinkingfaith.org. And you can find out more about these themes we've discussed today at thinkingfaith.org, but you can also find us on Instagram.
At Tiwik, that's T-I-W-I-K _pod.
Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time on Things I Wish I Knew.